Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast and around the world on American Forces Radio Network. It's great to welcome Tiki Barber back to the show. The last time he was on, he was nice enough to sit down with me at the Army-Navy Radio Row there in Philly. But, of course, Tiki, the great running back with the New York Giants and now with CBS Sports, he's teamed up with social media platform TSU, that's T-S-U, because they're launching a site which splits their advertising revenue 50-50, and this is important to Tiki because he is someone who would like to see college football players make a little cash. Tiki, thanks for being on the show again, man. I really appreciate it. And when you were at UVA, I'm sure you went by the bookstore and saw, like, people selling your jersey with your name on it. I mean, is that when it first kind of occurred to you? Like, you're not seeing a penny of this, huh?
You know what? It really occurred to me, and I appreciate you, Rick. Good to be back with you again. But you remember Jeremy Bloom? He was a University of Colorado football player, but also one of the great mogul skiers in American history, to be honest with you. And he got banned by the NCAA because he took sponsorship money so that he can compete in these alpine events and ultimately, hopefully, the Olympics. And I remember that popping into my head, like, you're making him choose between, you know, being a representative for the United States of America and a sport that he loves and college football. And because of the amateurism rules of the NCAA, you can't accept any funds. And so that's kind of when it first popped on to my radar screen when I was really young. But as I've gotten older and obviously played 10 years in the NFL and been a journalist but an entertainer in the journalism space for a while, you see how there's this inequity with branding around athletes. And yeah, I'm talking about football players, but it's also, you know, local heroes at a small college in Iowa or wherever it may be who could have an influence in their community and make some money based on their brand. Here today, you can't do that. And I think Sue, which you can find at sue.social, T-S-U.social, is looking to take advantage of this now growing movement to compensate college athletes for their name, image, and or likeness by sharing revenue, but also giving them access to a store, which we can get into later.
Yeah, I remember, if I remember correctly, that Jeremy Bloom, when he was at the Turin Olympics, as soon as he got to the bottom of the ski run, he ran to a plane to go to the combine.
Yes, that day,
I think.
That's right. And he didn't even get to play that next season, the season before, but he still got a chance to try out. I think he actually made a team, but I don't know how long he lasted.
No, he got drafted, but I don't think he made it. But I know he got drafted by somebody. I remember a few years ago out here, they actually had the case at a court in Oakland with Ed O'Bannon, and of course he saw himself in a video game wearing the baby blues of UCLA, and then I remember the Northwestern team a couple years ago said, "Hey, we're gonna not play at all until, you know, we get paid." And I know that, you know, Mark Emmert, the head of the NCAA, saying that college athletics will be destroyed forever, but they use this whole word of amateurism. And it bends the rules only for them. And as much as it's weird, I mean, I played D2 football, and so I was never going to be in the NFL, but it never occurred to me that maybe I would get paid. And it's just because I've been so inculcated with, I am a student athlete, you know?
Yes. Yes. Well, I think it's changed, Rick. Like, so when the NCAA 50 or so years ago was formed, amateurism was actually a real thing. The NCAA is not-for-profit, just like every school and athletic department around the country are not-for-profit. So they're not trying to make money. You know what I mean? They're trying to break even. And if you now are arbitrarily paying student athletes X amount, it puts you in the red, right? You can't. It's not sustainable. But that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about NCAA revenues or, you know, school revenues or tuition revenues going towards student athletes. This is an extra piece of the pie. This is branding. This is marketing that they can potentially do themselves outside of the scope. And I think when you look at how social media has evolved, and I mean, forget evolved, it's exploded, and it's how we connect and interact. And some of these athletes have hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of followers. That it's and most people can monetize that. Student athletes cannot. And so what I think Sue wants to help accomplish is a way for any influencer, but in this particular case, because we're talking about student athletes, to be able to share in some of that revenue, that additional revenue, not the NCAA revenue, not the school revenue, but that additional revenue that comes from the brand building that happens by being great at whatever you do, whether that's nationally or locally.
A couple more questions for Tiki Barber, talking about Sue, TSU. In the fall out here in California, they did pass a bill that would allow college athletes to, you know, hire an agent, make some money, whether it's, you know, for a soft drink or a car dealership or whatever. And a couple other states said, yeah, we're going to do that too. And I haven't really heard anything more about that. Do you know where we stand with all that?
Well, I think where we currently stand is that the NCAA, I don't think it goes into effect until 2023. I believe that's the date. And a couple other states have passed as well, but it's also down the line, which has given the NCAA some time to investigate this. So I believe that Mark Emmert and his team and the NCAA agree with the Commission on College Sports that was headed by Condoleezza Rice that it's time for this to change, right? You can't make $1 billion on the NCAA men's championship tournament and not compensate the athletes who are part of this, or at least allow them to try to compensate it with their brand. And so I think they're moving towards the correct direction. It's just a matter of execution. Just with anything, that any business or monetary endeavor, it's all about execution. And that's the sticking point right now, is how do you execute this? I think that's where we are right now. I don't know if any determinations have been made, but to me, it'll be about how you best facilitate this and make it easy and equitable across all parties.
Big news today, of course, that Tom Brady went on Howard Stern and dropped a couple of swear words. but you're a guy, I mean, you've been on
Howard
Stern,
best,
and you're always such a chill, relaxed guy. I mean, it seemed like you weren't intimidated by that, because you know Howard, Howard's a good guy, but he'll ambush you, I think, if he sees a weakness. What was it like when you used to go on Stern?
Yeah, so Howard, you know, because I used to work at Sirius. Me and my brother had a show called The Barber Shop. Me and my twin. It was kind of awesome. And Howard had this, like, an entire wing on the other side of the building. But I remember going on with him, God, probably it was 2010 or so, maybe a little bit later, 12. And it's not that you're intimidated, because he's so relaxed, right? He's probably the best interviewer I've ever had the privilege of being interviewed by, because he makes you feel at home and he makes you feel comfortable saying anything. Tom Brady drops a couple swear words, which is something he would never have done if he was still a New England Patriot, but now that he's a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, you can get away with that. But my experience with him was that, you know, you felt like you knew him. And I think that's the beauty of him, is he's so worldwidely known that you feel like you know him. And you know that he can be raunchy, but you know that he can be sincere. And so it's just like a dude, right? And so you feel comfortable with him. So I wasn't surprised that a lot of that came out with Brady and Howard Stern. I really enjoyed my interview with him, and I know people enjoy Tom's interview with him.
You know, I also work out here with Lorenzo Neal, and I was telling him.
Hello, Neal.
Yeah.
Best, man.
great guy. And I was telling him that when you and I were at Army Navy, you were telling me how you would get the extra yard right before you would get tackled, you'd take an angle and kind of dive for that extra yard.
That's right.
Were showing me. Yeah. And he was like, going, damn, I wish I would have known that. It's like, that was the
Lorenzo
secret right there.
Yeah, Lorenzo was one of my favorites because, look, Lorenzo played that non-glorified position that nobody, like, appreciated except for the guys that were behind him. You know what I mean? My fullbacks were my favorite guys because they took some of my hits and allowed me to get those extra yards and sometimes break some big ones. So I got a lot of respect for guys that played his position, but particularly him, because he's such a great dude.
Very cool. All right, so we know the draft is going to be on the internet, or people with webcams, what have you, on Skype, Zoom. The question now is whether we're going to start the season on time. And no one really knows the answer, because we don't know what's going to happen with this virus and if social distancing is really going to help and if we're going to get a you know, a vaccine. We don't know all this stuff. But in your heart of hearts, you think we're going to start the NFL season on time?
I do not think that we're going to start it on time. I think the off season is already going to be compressed. And with everything that's going on in this country and the peaks that are still to happen, we don't know when we're peaking here in New York. We thought we had plateaued. I'm in New Jersey, but in New York, we thought we had plateaued, and then all of a sudden it exploded back up to, you know, 800, almost 1,000 deaths in a day. And so the ebbs and flows of this are going to be with us for a while. I do think that the season will happen, though. Basketball might be in jeopardy. Baseball will probably get pushed back and maybe truncate the season down to 130-something games or something like that. But I think the NFL will get a full season in, even if they have to delay it. Now, it's going to wreak havoc on our 2021 sports calendar, but given the money that's at stake, the billions of dollars of TV deals that have already been negotiated and are soon to be renegotiated, I do believe that the season will get done, even though it's going to be complicated and there might be a lot of overlap and too much sports content, but I do think it will happen.
You know, I used to work with Brandon Tierney out here in San Francisco, and I had BT on a few months ago, and he was telling me about the man versus bear thing on the Discovery Channel. So if you see BT, tell him I said hi, man.
I will. I'll see you today. We're broadcasting our show. We've been working from home for the last 3 weeks, and for the first time since we've been out of studio and in our own home, you know, offices, we're going to be simulcast on CBS Sports Network as well. So 3 to 6, you can catch him on TV today. But I'll tell him you said hi, Rick. BT's the man. We have such a good show because we're so different. Right? He's like a little bit of a maniac, as you know, and I'm kind of calm and chill. So we kind of meet in the middle with a lot of the subjects that we're talking
you
about.
You guys
know right now we're just inventing stuff to talk about.
Yeah, I'm right with you. We've been speaking with Tiki Barber, great running back, great broadcaster. Make sure to check out social media platform 2. That is TSU. Tiki, thanks for your time, man. Really appreciate it. Stay safe, and let's catch up soon.
Anytime, Rick. Be well. Talk to you soon.
All right. Good stuff. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break. Come on back on Sports Pod.